Good evening, everyone. Be making your way in your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 2. I want to read a few verses out of 1 Peter chapter 2 and then out of 1 Peter chapter 3. But as you're turning, let me just go ahead and announce, I had a few people ask this morning about the Houghtons. Eric and Katie Houghton, he's the helicopter pilot at the hospital. They had their baby in the wee hours this morning early. Mom is doing great. Baby is doing great. His name is Isaac Holmes Houghton, born at 1:43 a.m., weighed in at 8 pounds, 4 ounces, and 21 inches long. So baby's healthy. They should be home tomorrow morning, be back in town. So praise God for that. Along that same line, this coming week, Miss Danielle Gunner is scheduled to have her newest little bundle of joy join us middle of the week. So y'all be in prayer for Danny and for the baby and for their family as well. God is good. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm thankful for the honor to be able to stand before you tonight as Brother Doug was out of town. And so we're gonna talk out of 1 Peter. I'm going to share just a few minutes out of 1 Peter chapter 2. As an introduction, let me just say, 1 and 2 Peter, my Sunday school class, if you've been in there, you've heard this. But we did a study on 1 Peter about a couple months ago, and then this morning we started a study on 2 Peter. But 1 and 2 Peter were written during a time when Rome was in turmoil. Nero was the emperor, and Peter likely wrote both of these letters while he was in prison. Eventually, Nero would crucify Peter. He would also crucify Peter's wife. They were burning Christians at the stake. It was chaos. Nero was either crazy or perhaps he was just possessed by Satan. Maybe he was both. I don't know. But it was a bad time to be a Christian. It was in that setting that Peter wrote these words in 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's all stand and read beginning in verse number 13. Peter wrote this: "Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to the governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to open your word and to share a portion of scripture, to, Father, consider some truths that you have for us in your word. God, may you bless the reading of your word. May you bless our time tonight. May it build up everyone who is here. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we were studying through the book of 1 Peter, this was one of the quotes that Kyle Idleman said, and it just grabbed a hold of me. He said, "As the world becomes increasingly hostile, the church must become increasingly holy." Think about that. As the world becomes increasingly hostile, the church must become increasingly holy. And that was certainly true in Peter's time. And so Peter issues a call to holiness. We are to be known as people who are holy, as people who are different. We are to be known by our kindness. We are to be known by our care. We are to be known by our compassion, our forgiveness. Even in the face of persecution, even in the face of intense evil, we are to be known for our holiness. Continue reading in verse number 18. He says this: "Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing when, mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it and you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of our God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in His steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly." So he said, we are to be subservient under those who God has put in power over us, whether they are good or whether they're evil. Think about the atmosphere that Peter's writing this. It's incredible to me that he would write these words. Respect the emperor. But the emperor was crazy. But the emperor was burning Christians at the stake. And yet Peter challenged the church to respect and honor those in authority over them. Why would he do that? I actually want somebody to answer. Why would he do that? What would cause him to issue that kind of a challenge?
That's what Jesus would say.
Because that's exactly what Jesus did. That's exactly right. That's what Jesus did. And we are to be Christians. They were first called Christians because they were like Christ. And he challenges the church, be Christ-like. Be submissive, even in the spite of intense evil. Be holy. Be set apart. Be different. Because the world will take notice when you are different. If you are ruled by an evil individual, and all you ever do is complain and gripe and plot some sort of overthrowing the government, people kind of anticipate that. That makes sense. But when you are completely opposite of that, when you return goodness for evil, kindness for maliciousness, a quiet spirit for slander, people take notice. They take notice. And we are to be different. It's not easy, but it's simple. There's nothing easy about that. There's nothing in my nature that says if Brother Ken Worthing is chewing me out and cussing me up one side and down the other, which he's never done, but I think it's funny, so I'm going to say it, for me to stand there and take that. There's nothing in me that wants to do that. Nothing. But that's what Christ has called us to do. He's called us to be holy. We must be content to let God set things right. It's not our job. That's a hard lesson for me to learn. I am a man, and men tend to want to set things right. At least I do. Maybe you don't. But I certainly do. God didn't leave that up to me. I will repay, says the Lord. Remember the old saying, WWJD, right? Back in the, when was that? Early 90s maybe? Late 80s? I don't remember when it was. It was a big deal. For those of you who were born after that, you may have never even heard of it. Stood for what does Jesus do? What would Jesus do? And that's exactly how we are to live. We are to live the way that Jesus would live. Then he continues to describe holiness. Over in chapter 3, look over in chapter 3 verse 8. And let's read a few verses there. Chapter 3, verse 8. Continuing to talk about what it looks like to be holy, to be different. Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, so that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and to see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of him, nor be troubled. But in your hearts, honor Christ as Lord, as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and do it with respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. The kingdom of God does not advance through politics or clever arguments, but through an unwavering commitment to the Word of God and an unsurpassed love for all people. Think about that. How does the kingdom advance? Think about salvation. Think about this young man who came forward this morning, Danny Brown. Danny Brown has been in church for many years now. Praise God. Several years ago, Danny's older sister was saved, which led to Danny's daddy being saved in this church. And now Danny has grown up for several years in church, listening to God's Word preached. He went to church camp with us. And God began to work on his heart. How was I saved? I was saved in much the same way. I was saved by watching my parents live out the gospel in front of me. My grandparents, they lived out the gospel in front of me. Yes, I heard a sermon. Yes, I came back from church camp, and then we went straight into revival. It was like the 1-2 punch. Maybe we should do that more often. I don't know. Right after church camp, go straight into revival, and maybe we'll see a lot of young kids saved. I don't know. That's what happened with me. But for the first several years of my life, I saw the gospel every day in my father and my mother and my grandfather and my grandmother. That's what we are called to be, to do. We must become increasingly holy as the world is hostile or as the world is apathetic, which maybe that's what our world is today more so than hostile. Maybe they just don't care, at least in our culture. There's just this apathy going on. They don't care. But we are called to be increasingly holy as parents, as grandparents, as husbands, wives, spouses, children. We are called to holiness. We are called to something greater, something different, something outside the I don't care attitude. We're called to care about God and what He cares about. And what He cares about is loving people. Loving God, love people. Love God, love people. The entire Bible can be distilled down into that simple phrase, love God and love people. That's what it is. That's what He's called us to, the two greatest commandments. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love God, love people. That's what He's called us to. Unfortunately, instead of being transformed by the regenerative power of Christ, churches as a whole seem to be conforming to the pattern of this world. Things that were once clearly called sin now are just okay. They're just not that big a deal. We're just going to let it go. It doesn't matter. That's what our churches have become. We don't care. You ask, there's a new church that comes into town and they're called Cross Gate Church or, you know, Living Springs Love of Others or whatever they're called. Just come up with some really fluffy sounding name. It doesn't matter. And you ask them what they believe and they can't tell you. What's your doctrinal statement? What's doctrine? That's what they want to know. What do you mean by doctrine? I had a pastor one time who said a lot of new modern age non-denominational churches don't take a stand on anything. Asking them what they believe is like nailing Jell-O to a wall. It just, nothing sticks. There's nothing there. And I thought that was probably pretty appropriate. We are called to believe. We are called to know what we believe, and we are called to live what we believe. I heard it say one time, someone said, there would be a spiritual revolution if we simply lived out our convictions. Would there? Would there be a spiritual revolution if Victory Baptist Church lived out our convictions? That's a good question, isn't it? What are you convicted about? Are you convicted about your children, where they are? Your grandchildren? Are you convicted about your marriage? Are you convicted about being the best spouse that you can be so that your spouse understands Christ more fully because they are married to you? See, that's where my heart is. And I talk about that all the time in my Sunday school class. What are you convicted about? Are you convicted about the people that you work across the hall from? Are you convicted enough to talk to them? Man, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like our convictions are lacking. Don't you? I think it's an interesting statement. I think it's a beautiful idea. I think we need to become more convicted. in general, don't you? Brother Doug said, share a word and keep it short. Because it's quarterly business meeting. I can do that. My challenge to you tonight is, how will you live out your convictions this week, and what difference will it make?